Welcome back to the Tip TV Finance Show, sponsored by Trade Signaler. I'm joined here by my co-host, Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and by a Tip TV favorite, Ben Kumar, investment manager for Seven Investment Management. No, it doesn't say that.
It doesn't actually say that.
Well, it doesn't. Well,
I love improv like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very flattering.
But yes, well, there we are. Ben, you asked us before you came in whether you thought people understood the market.
Yep.
Is there anything to understand? Buy the dips?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, buy the dips seems like a pretty accurate strategy. I think the best performing strategy I've heard was one you mentioned about a year ago of buy the FTSE when it's below 6,000 and sell it when it gets up towards 7,000.
I did actually ask a lot of people when it was, you know, down there, near there, and nobody really wanted to commit themselves. Commit themselves to getting the sack, probably, if they got it wrong.
But I mean, it's
below 6,000, really. I mean, it's not there for very long, normally, is it?
It sounds really dumb, and kind of the world shouldn't work like that.
That's why I came up with it.
But it you know, that's been a pretty decent strategy for the past 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're in a world where fundamentals clearly don't matter. I think technicals are struggling as well. So the reason I say technicals are struggling is there's a lot of companies out there, I'm thinking about particularly the tech stocks, yes, where technicals don't really seem to work either. Facebook, Amazon, you know, there's not enough history on any of them to see that these stock movements do anything that's technically right.
Had you executed a smart beta strategy in an environment where fundamentals seem to be taking a back seat to, well, any number of other things? Sentiment, I mean, just, is this, oh yeah, because somebody said something on a blog somewhere, and you go, oh, geez, that's a bit flaky.
I mean, I think the easiest thing to do, that, so if you look at the S&P 500 equally weighted strategy,
yeah,
if you look at it since inception, I think it's Guggenheim have an ETF on it that goes back 15 years. It has trounced the S&P in a market cap weighted form. And, you know, it's a really simple idea. You just buy exactly the same amount in every stock because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think at the moment, that would be a pretty winning strategy. We've seen a broad rally, cross sectors, cross companies, cross industries. You know, you're not doing well picking winners. You just pick everything.
I mean, what sort of factors do seem to be performing well, and what's perhaps disappointing, and perhaps where do you think the opportunities?
I think there's still this defensive idea, right? You know, there was a really good research piece from one of the brokers the other day saying, you know, we're in this odd world where people are buying bonds for the capital gains,
yeah,
and they're buying equities because they think the yields will persist year after year.
Yeah.
It's not the way things are meant to work. So defensive equities look really expensive, but people keep buying them.
Yeah.
Why do they keep buying them? Because you get 0.6% for 10 years on the UK 10-year government
bond. Some of them are bond proxies, aren't they?
Well, they are, but for how long? Do you remember when oil companies used to be bond proxies because they were defensive and never went down? That's kind of...
Well, yeah. When the price is telling you it has a payout, you know, a prospective dividend yield of, you know, 8 or 9%, you know that number's wrong.
Some way that's going to change, right?
Yeah.
Either you're going to do very well and the price will rally, or someone's cutting their dividend pretty sharpish.
Yeah.
You know, I think at the moment, you want to look for utility-like businesses that can churn out a return year after year. Problem is, everyone is doing that.
Yeah.
And that means that things like the USA Minimum Volatility Index have just been on an absolute tear and show no signs of stopping. What we're waiting for, I think, what we're waiting for in a fundamental world is the return of value to the markets, these cyclical stocks, people buying into a cyclical recovery. If you see that come through, I think there might be a little bit more faith in this bull market rather than people hanging on for what they're worth.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, you do have, you know, the Unilevers and the Reckitts and the elephants galloping in a way that, you know, that you just wouldn't have imagined even a few months ago. But doesn't that put the focus onto the small cap area and the growth stocks, you know, the under 500 million or under 100 million, wherever your bar is set? And does Seven get involved in any of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had a kind of a value and small cap tilt for a long time on the basis that we think a cyclical recovery is coming. You know, we may be nearer, you know, it depends who you talk to, maybe nearer the end of a structural cycle than the beginning, but a cyclical recovery could come through in the States pretty quickly. So small cap US, value US.
You know, offer that, do you? I mean, I can...
Yeah, you buy a multi-asset strategy when you buy our funds, Zach. So part of
Tell me this.
Well,
you were just big companies.
No. You buy multi-asset. What we do offer is a value strategy which will specifically look in the US for value opportunities, run by a Swiss colleague of mine. That's done very well in the US recently and very well in the UK. But, you know, there will come a time when it doesn't, when, you know, smart beta.
It's about a mean reversion.
Smart beta, I think, is an interesting one of, you know, when will people start saying, actually, this doesn't work and it was just a fad? Mm. We've seen, I think it's something you might know better than me, but something like a third of all new ETF assets this year have gone into smart beta strategies.
That makes you a little bit cautious.
It's
a bit of an ambulance chasing feel about it. And I do recall, and I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is, but the guy who effectively invented smart beta said, a lot of this is just rubbish.
Be very selective
because the label may not really indicate what's going on behind the...
Yeah, well, you've got Cliff Asness at AQR, who is, you know, kind of the main theoretical driving force behind smart beta, saying, look, you can't time these factors. There's not going to be a time when you can say, and now I buy value, and now I buy defensive, and now I buy this. You know, he said his work has kind of proven that switching between them is likely to lose you money. Just sticking with one over the cycle, however long that is a better shout. At the moment, I think there's a lot of people tempted, and you see the press releases of, we found a way to choose when you're defensive and when you're aggressive and when you're... You know, I'm a kind of firm believer in stick to what you think you are good at, even if it hurts in the short term, even if it hurts in the medium term. You know, not everyone can be great at everything, so find something you know, whether that's picking value stocks, whether that's macro, whether that's technicals, and kind of stick to that. Most of the successful people we see in the world, you know, are good at one thing, and they've worked out how to do that again and again and again.
Self-promotion, generally speaking.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
talking to somebody who's both on TV.
Absolutely. You know, self-promotion's a pretty good trait as well.
Zach's uncharacteristically crying.
Well, because...
what's up, Zach?
I thought you were just talking about me. For people who haven't got 3 degrees and the CFA and everything else, could you just explain what smart beta is?
Basically, the problem with market cap weighting an index, so you give the most money to the biggest companies, is that you buy the FTSE 100 and you think you've got 100 stocks. Actually, what you've got is 15% in Royal Dutch Shell, 15% of your money, another 8% in BP, and the rest of it mainly in UK-focused banks. The tail end, probably the end you're most interested in, you know, your Carphones, Dixons, the smaller companies, you don't have any assets dedicated to. If Royal Dutch Shell has a bad day, it can wipe out any gains that one of the smaller companies had.
But it's not just a diversification issue, is it? It's just that, you know, quite a lot of the reason these companies have a big market cap, because they are big companies, and they may already have gone X growth.
Absolutely.
So you're effectively overweight. You've got an outsized economic exposure to low growth companies.
Yep, exactly.
Exactly the reverse of what you probably want over the long
term. Do you want to be in the company that's not growing anymore and is likely to shrink? Is that going to be your biggest weight? If I came to you with a strategy like that, you'd say no.
Although, ironically, all those big, slow, boring stocks are the ones which may have moved the most since June the 24th.
Well, not all of them. Depends which, right? You know, you've got ones that are UK-focused that have not been doing so well, if you're talking about...
I'm talking about a lot of heavyweight. The Glaxos the defensive Unilevers and those ones just went mad. I mean, the smart beta would have had a pile
of face. Oil's been badly beating up. Pharma's done relatively well. Some of the big tech stocks have done relatively well. But the banks have done...
Makes me want to sell those big stocks that are now an even bigger weight in my portfolio, right? It makes me think I'm nervous about these and I'm willing to be wrong for a little bit. In order to get out of something like Glaxo, which, you know, drug trials are failing everywhere. If you look at the pharma industry, we've seen two high-profile failures in the last couple of days, and that, you know, that can turn a big solid company into one that's struggling to get new patents. Those kind of risks, smart beta might move you away from.
Well, on that note of smart beta, Ben Kumar, investment manager for Ascendant Investment Management. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.